Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is the text. Jesus gives his listeners, gives us, some difficult doses of reality. Christ did not come to earth to make sinners feel better about themselves and build them up through a 12-step self-help program. When it comes to that which is truly important in our lives, that is providing forgiveness and salvation, we are self-helpless. Our sinful nature is totally corrupt. It's not, none of this is about what we can do. And the good news is Christ has done it all. He says from the cross, "It is finished." However, when we look at what Christ came to do, it's not what most people thought he would do. In his day, they wanted him to be the champion for Israel, reestablish the kingdom. Likewise, what Christ actually did is generally misunderstood in the popular perception of our world today. Now, Christ did come to bring comfort and healing, as most everyone would attest. But before he brings comfort and healing, he brings his sword. Christ does not heal us through massage therapy. He does not massage away all the bad pains and bad feelings, make us feel good about ourselves for a short while. There are no temporary, superficial, pop psychology cures where Christ is present. As he says, he comes with a sword, and he cuts away, gets rid of that which is evil. I can't tell you how many people over the years mention that they either have difficulty coming here to church or even, you know, ever coming to church because, perhaps it's this guilt that they feel for one reason or another, and, you know, they would say, "Oh, the walls would fall in on me if I went there," or sometimes I've heard people say that they don't come because they feel like every eye is looking at them, casting judgment upon them. Or the proverbial, "Oh, the bolt of lightning would come down and strike me." Well, the reality is, this is the sword of Christ at work. The author of the Hebrews wrote, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Reality is, when someone feels guilt or shame, the thing is, they understand who it is that is actually casting his eye upon them. And it's the Lord. And the eyes of him to whom we must give account see everything. And the law of God shows us our sin, exposing it to us. We hear Paul say that this is the purpose of the law. That's what we read in our epistle reading. That sin might be shown to be sin. And this is a good thing. Anyone who tells you that sin should not be pointed out is saying that St. Paul is a liar. And is essentially says the same thing about Jesus. And when Jesus says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," our pop psychology world forgets to read the rest of the passage. Jesus goes on to say that you need to take the log out of your own eye so that you may see clearly, so as to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Removing the speck is a good and beneficial act. The pop psychology religion of the day wants you to leave the speck and just love everyone just the way they are. Allowing someone to have something in their eye, letting it remain, allowing someone to not see clearly, to essentially be blind. I mean, we've all had, sand or, wood chip, something in your eye, and you know what that feels like. Allowing that and saying, oh, you're fine. This is no act of love. Satan wants you to believe the lie and remain blind. And we see households divided. As Jesus says, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. Because the word of God, the sword of Christ, the words of St. Paul, they don't allow for comfortable massage therapy and the self-help message promised by the world. Because that message leaves you blind. Christ brings a sword for a reason. God brings those pangs of guilt into your hearts, into the pit of your stomach, to bring us to repentance, to bring about real change in our lives, real peace. Unfortunately, the common response to these pangs of guilt is to stay away from Christ and his church, or to seek out religious comfort where that sword will never be present. Because our sinful nature desires to be comfortable more than anything else. Our sinful nature wants the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel says the same thing. They talk about peace where there is no peace. That's, pretend peacefulness. And this should not be tolerated or desired. Because the ultimate real peace that Christ does bring, that washing away of your sin in the waters of baptism and the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sin and the absolution and the receiving of forgiveness, life, and salvation in the body and blood of Christ, it's worth enduring the sword. The joy of forgiveness, the joy of the gates of heaven being open to you, it is worth any uncomfortableness standing before the law of God. We just sang what a friend we have in Jesus. Yes, Jesus is our friend. Not only because, as the hymn writer says, he bears our sins and griefs away, but he also opens our eyes and shows us our sin. If you were grasping in the dark because you had splinters in your eyes, what would you think if your friends said, oh, don't worry, you are fine just the way you are. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You would quickly understand those friends are not very good friends. Not friends at all. Because if they were friends, they'd be looking out for you. They would help you, even if it's inconvenient for them at the time. And no matter how unpleasant the truth may be, allowing a friend to blindly grasp in the darkness of sin is not a show of love. The sword that Christ wields is very sharp and does not allow anything to stand between him and his faithful people. Christ came to make clear the division between God's people and Satan's people. Now, both groups sin every day. However, God's people are led to acknowledge their sin. We feel sorrow for our sin. We repent of our sin. We are forgiven our sin. And all of this is his work in us. We are self-helpless. One of my favorite hymns, which we're going to sing during communion, Thy Strong Word, begins with the words, you know, Thy Strong Word did cleave the darkness. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said, let there be light. And that light cut through the darkness. The two are incompatible. Where there is light, there is not darkness. Likewise, where there is darkness, there is no light. Well, Christ, the Word of God made flesh, has now done that to your heart. He wields his sword and cleaves away the darkness of sin. Because the guilt of sin and the joy of the forgiveness of sin are incompatible, just like light and darkness are. Where there is the joy of the forgiveness of sin, the guilt of sin is gone. That's the gospel. It is painful when the full brunt of the law exposes our sinful heart. But there is no more joyful feeling than having the pain and shame and guilt of our sin completely removed from our lives. To have God wash it away in the blood of the Lamb. This is what Christ has done for us through his death and resurrection. In the work of the law and the gospel, we see what a true friend we really have in Jesus. The message of Christ and his church, it's rarely popular. It's sometimes painful. But it is always filled with real hope and real peace. The way of the cross is not easy. Jesus never promised it would be. It is not the broad and easy road. It is the narrow path. But it's the only path that leads to salvation. It's the only way in which the gates of heaven are opened. We are self-helpless. As we said at the beginning of our worship service, our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.